Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Yeah, right!
Finally, Friday, on this February 12, 2016. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Rebel Rise Live. I'm David Johnson, along with your co-hosts Michael Quirk and Dave Bevan, coming at you on a very cold day in Oxford, Mississippi, but some things heating up over the weekend. Ole Miss with a big basketball game Saturday night, hosting Arkansas at the Pavilion. We'll get into that a little bit later on during today's show. Michael, Dave, how you guys doing this morning?
I'm right there with you on that cold front.
It is chilly in Oxford this morning, no doubt about it. And I understand we may have a chance for some wintry weather to move into the area late Sunday night, early Monday morning. But the weatherman's been about as good as I have with my crystal ball predictions lately, so I'm not going to put a whole lot of faith into that. We'll see what happens over the weekend. But it is a big basketball game for the Rebels Saturday against Arkansas, a struggling Arkansas team. You know, you want to just keep prolonging the hope for an NCAA tournament bid for this Ole Miss basketball team. But, Michael, I mean, if they don't win tomorrow night against Arkansas, outside of running the table in the SEC tournament, it's got to be over, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. That's not the feeling inside the program. They think that they're squarely in it. But, you know, just thinking from a realistic perspective, I can't really see how they would make their way into the tournament other than by winning it all in Nashville if they lose on Saturday. It would just be a crushing blow to sort of the psyche of the team. From how they got the breakout win over Vanderbilt and then played really well against the circumstances in Gainesville, to come back and lose to a bad Arkansas team. I mean, they're at 500. They got blown out by Mississippi State, losing by I believe somewhere in the 30 range, and Mississippi State is nothing to write home about this year. And getting blown out like that is really bad. So if you can lose to this Arkansas team at home, no less, then, yeah, not only is it looking bad on paper, but just what it's going to do surrounding the team and surrounding sort of the confidence that the guys have. I think this one is a must win.
All right, Michael, now what exactly is the deal with Sebastian Saez right now? Will he play tomorrow night? I know he says he will. And if so, how effective will he be?
Yeah, Sebastian, he still has that lingering eye issue. There is a little bubble on his eye that's causing a black spot in his vision. And so he can't see his feet unless he moves his head and looks down at his feet. That's why when he had some of his shots blocked in Gainesville on Tuesday night, you saw that he was a little disoriented. And you usually don't see him getting shots blocked like that. And if he does, then he can recover it pretty well. But he's still having a little bit of vision problems. And I'll tell you, I was when I was speaking with him yesterday, his eye was – it was very red. It was a little hard to look at. I see best, but it's a little hard to look at. But he's going to be wearing those goggles. It'll probably be goggles moving away from sort of the sunglasses with the tint. Right now, his pupil is still dilated in that eye, and so it's very sensitive to the lights in the arena. And so he'll be wearing those again tomorrow night, and then he'll be wearing goggles for the rest of his life to protect his eyes from anything else like that. And so he wasn't expected to play 26 minutes like he did the other night. That was sort of, you know, just Dorian Finney-Smith in the Florida front court sort of forced Andy Kennedy's hand there. And so he decided to let Sivas go as much as he could. And Sivas gave him some good minutes, and he's been dying to get out there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him play a little less than he did against Florida. If Ole Miss is getting pounded in the paint, then they may try and stick back in there for some more minutes. But for now, I'm guessing that they're going to go small and go with some tempo and try and go with an athletic lineup against Arkansas and give Sivas a little bit of a rest there, maybe in the 15 to 20 minute range.
Well, at least those guys will get to play inside in the warmth of the pavilion, not so much for the Ole Miss baseball team that is practicing every single day, getting ready for their season opener, which is just days away now. And, Michael, I know you've been out to a couple of practices. Your assessment on what this Ole Miss baseball team looks like right now, getting ready for opening day, and, you know, what their expectations are of themselves.
Yeah, from talking to some guys in the program as well as some of the players on the team, there's one key word that keeps coming up when they're talking about the lineup there, and that's that they're diverse and that they're versatile. And, I mean, they're absolutely right on that. There's a lot of speed in the lineup. There's a lot of guys that can hit for contact, and then you also have some power there. I spoke with Henry Lartigue yesterday, and I'll have a story up on that later today. And he talked about simplifying his swing, and he's been hitting the ball a lot better, and he feels like he's seeing the ball a lot better. And I'll tell you what, from watching him not only in live scrimmages but BP and other practice situations, he is really powering the ball out to all parts of the field. And then JB Woodman, he's also shortened his swing, so his hands are even quicker than they were last year. And he's going to turn on every single fastball that comes inside on him. And he's powering them out to right. And so there's a lot that you're going to see from this lineup. It's so deep. It goes 1 through 9. There's experience. There's talent. And even Tate Blackman, who is a first-team All-American in high school at second base, he struggled some. He had an up-and-down freshman year, but he's been playing really well. He had a really nice fall and a really good summer last year as well. And it looks like he's poised for some big things. And now it looks like the rotation sort of shaping up. If I were to say what it is today from what I've been seeing, who's been getting, like tracking who's been pitching when and how much, and from what some sources have told me inside the program, it looks like it's going to be Brady Bramlett, Chad Smith, and then freshman from Texas, James MacArthur. But that could be subject to change. There could be a substitution or two in there. But that's what I have to guess at this moment. And that's a really talented rotation. We saw what Bramlett did last year, was really successful in SEC play. And then you see Chad Smith, who he got drafted in the 23rd round by Cleveland in this past year's draft. He would have gone higher, but he had a torn oblique, which sort of put him back, but he assured me that he's 100%. He has some nasty stuff. He has a slider that's a good out pitch for him. And then you have a guy like MacArthur, who's one of the three really heralded freshman pitchers for Ole Miss, along with Carucci out of Jackson, as well as Pagnozzi out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. And people have been ranting and raving about his stuff ever since he got to campus. And it looks like he'll be the first one to get a crack at trying to solve the Ole Miss Sunday starter woes that have sort of plagued the baseball team for as long as we can remember.
Ole Miss opens a week from today against Florida International at Swayze Field. That's a 3-game series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then a midweek game against Arkansas State. And then things, you really get that big-time test. And that's nothing against Florida International. They're going to be a quality opponent for Ole Miss on opening weekend. But you're looking at Louisville coming in here the weekend of February 26th. And that is a nationally ranked program. A lot of people hold Louisville in high regard heading into this baseball season, Michael.
Absolutely, and you have the former Ole Miss pitching coach heading that program now, and you have Louisville, who's preseason number 2 in the country. And Louisville, despite having immense success the last few years, making the College World Series a couple times in the last few years, and putting a lot of players into the draft, there's still not really a passion for baseball up in Louisville, which you'd think there was with the minor league team and the bats there, and also the Louisville, you have the bat company in Louisville, but no one really cares about baseball up at Louisville. If you saw the series last year, either in person or you had a Rebel Vision account and got a look at it, there's about as many Ole Miss fans as there were Louisville fans there. And so you know that they're looking forward to the opportunity to play in a place like Swayze Field that's going to be packed, that's going to be rocking, that's a great college baseball atmosphere. And you know that they're going to be ready to play for their coach as he returns to his old boss.
Right, and certainly an opportunity for Ole Miss, who's been left out of a lot of these preseason baseball polls, to kind of send a message to the nation that this is going to be an Ole Miss team that could challenge to not only win the SEC, but perhaps get back to Omaha. So going to be a lot of fun on the baseball diamond, and it all gets underway in grand fashion a week from today. Okay, the topical item that's kind of been dominating the headlines this week is the NCAA investigation into the Ole Miss athletics program. There have been a number of new revelations this week, the latest being last night, something hundreds of miles away from Oxford that has some sort of reflection on this NCAA investigation into Ole Miss, and that's word that the University of Texas is going to terminate assistant coach Chris Vaughn. Chris Vaughn, of course, was an assistant on the Ole Miss staff under Houston Nutt. So, and word out of Austin is the reason Texas is terminating him is because of Vaughn's presence in whatever this NCAA report contains. So, again, that's a sign, I think, that you can see that probably the most major charges filed against the Ole Miss football program were before Hugh Freeze and his staff got here. I think that's pretty much kind of been cleared this week. Ross Bjork coming out and saying, listen, there's no charge of lack of institutional control. That's very good news if you're an Ole Miss fan. That charge is not in the notice of allegations issued to Ole Miss by the NCAA, which is the most serious charge. So wipe that away. That's not in there. Also, Ross Bjork being perfectly clear that Hugh Freeze is not named in any of the allegations. So that's another big one right there. And it leads you to believe that most of the serious stuff is going to be prior to this staff's arrival in Oxford, particularly with Texas allegedly about to fire Chris Vaughn. I don't think that that's actually officially happened yet, but news out of Austin last night said so. Dave, your take, you've been kind of quiet throughout this podcast, your take on all of this as it stands right now.
Well, it's pretty much the same take as I had in yesterday's podcast, David. You know, earlier in the week, Bjork said that the NCAA investigation with Ole Miss is complete, and that word right there is a rejuvenating word for Ole Miss fans, because it's a word that for over 3 years the fan base has been waiting for, and not speaking for the staff or Bjork himself, but I'm sure it is a word that they are ready to finally see is, you know, a complete done over. Let's move on from this thing. And, you know, they've got 90 days to respond to the NCAA. So over the next 90 days, we should hear something. And that's the thing that, you know, I think is next. I think everybody should just sit back and let Ole Miss have their response. Let's see Ole Miss's response, and then the NCAA in turn has 60 days to respond to Ole Miss. And, you know, and just looking at all all of the allegations that have surfaced, David, and like you mentioned, most of the serious stuff that has surfaced is pre, you know, Hugh Freeze area, and it would be pre Bjork's era. So you know, this and the stuff in that involves during Freeze era, most of this stuff has already been self-reported. So
here's the bottom line. Anytime the NCAA is breathing down your neck, it's a matter to be taken seriously. Okay, that much mm-hmm. is granted. But all of this rooting going on out there from your rivals that this is going to be something that's going to bury the Ole Miss football program, it's simply just wishful thinking. The evidence is not there. And if you listen to any unbiased media report regarding this, that's the story that's being told. Look, there is some there, but there isn't that much there, so to speak. So, you know, at the end of the day, what do you expect? Probably some scholarship reductions, probably some reductions on unofficial and official visits, probably a few reductions on coaches' time out on the road and things of that nature. Although, as you mentioned, Dave, many of these things have already been self-imposed by the Ole Miss football program. So it's not going to be the Nagasaki Hiroshima-style atomic bomb that some as again, quasi-media people are beating the drum that it's going to be. It's not going to be that, and I think the sane world realizes that. Anybody from Paul Feinbaum to, I mean, just take your pick of anybody
right.
who's not Pat Ford in the mainstream media, they're telling you this. It's not going to be the bomb that some have made it out to be. And you know, the bottom line is there's no charge of lack of institutional control. Coach Hugh Freeze is not named in any of the wrongdoings. Ole Miss has worked relentlessly with the NCAA, and that's something that I think a lot of times people don't quite understand. Listen, when there's an NCAA violation, your compliance department, they are working hand in fist with the NCAA. It's not an antagonistic thing. It's not where Ole Miss Compliance is going, okay, we're going to work against the NCAA. They're trying to find out the facts, too, and present the best case that they can. And by all accounts, Ole Miss has worked hand in hand with the NCAA on this. And, you know, it'll come to a resolution sometime during this calendar year. Anybody that says they know when's lying to you. Because, you know, as Dave mentioned, there's this 90-day window Ole Miss has to respond, and if they're not in agreement with all of the NCAA charges, then the NCAA has a 60-day window, and then it goes into some sort of mediation or arbitration situation before a final resolution is reached. So those kind of things take time, but it's been a big mountain made out of a small hill, I think, overall. You know, we'll see. This thing's got legs and it's moving, and we'll see what pops up next. Dave, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, just kind of I want to touch on this. Tristan Jebbia, the 2017 four-star quarterback out of Calabasas, California, will take an unofficial visit to Ole Miss on February 19th. That is next week. He'll be in Oxford on Friday. And you have talked to Tristan, and, of course, he's the son of former Ole Miss tight end Rich Jebbia. Dave, I take this as a very positive sign that Tristan, basically 2 weeks after he was offered by the Rebels, is going to be in Oxford. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. You know, when I talked to Tristan, you know, he told me that he was 90% sure that he would be visiting the Rebels in the next couple weeks, and that shows that he's stuck to his word. He's ready to get out to Ole Miss and excited to see, you know, the college that his dad is an alumnus from, as well as his mother. It's a huge visit for Ole Miss because this isn't an in-state kid. This isn't, you know, someone who just lives right down the road who can visit at any time. Tristan has never visited the Ole Miss campus before, despite, you know, his parents, you know, being, you know, from this area and going to school here, he's over 1,000 miles away in California. There's not very many more opportunities that he would have from now. And the possibility when I spoke with him, it isn't 100% set in stone, but he is thinking about announcing his decision by the end of April. So if you look at that time frame from now until April, that wouldn't really have many more visits in here. So this is Ole Miss's big chance to have a good weekend for him. And, it's a huge visit.
Well, it sure is nice to have all of these Ole Miss legacy prospects, Tristan Javia there, and then we've got another Ole Miss legacy who's going to be on campus tomorrow, and that is 2017 Vicksburg St. Aloysius offensive lineman Ben Brown. And Ben's dad, Tim, of course, was a standout player here at Ole Miss. So was his uncle. So were both of his grandfathers. Both grandfathers captains on Ole Miss national championship team. So how about that? Ben Brown coming to Oxford this weekend. All right, Michael, let's get back to this ball game tomorrow night in Oxford, Ole Miss and Arkansas. And you mentioned that the mood inside the Ole Miss camp is that they're in it, that they think they can get into the NCAA tournament. Let's say they beat Arkansas. Let's say they go ahead and take care of Arkansas on Saturday. How much does that improve their position? And then, you know, what about the work left to do? Because it's not exactly going to be easy down the stretch. I know that there is a trip to a very, very good Texas A&M team coming up. And, you know, any night in the SEC can be a difficult night. And they close out the year. Look, they still got road trips to Texas A&M. They've got a road trip to Georgia. They've got a road trip to Tennessee left. What is the complexion? What does it really do to change that complexion for the better if they defeat Arkansas tomorrow?
I think Arkansas is more so a landmine than anything that they would be able to point at. You just need to not lose the Arkansas game more than you have to win it. And I mean, of course, beating Texas A&M isn't a must-have for Ole Miss, but it would certainly be a nice feather in the cap to get that road SEC win against a ranked opponent. So, if they can beat Texas A&M, that would go a long way. That's pretty much the only game left on the schedule that Ole Miss could point to on their resume before it gets to Nashville, and so. Like I said, it's extremely positive in that locker room about what they can do. There's a lot of senior leadership. There's a lot of guys that are coming around it right at the exact right time. Seabus is getting healthy. Moody is getting healthy, and he finally has his explosiveness back. And then you look at guys like Giello and Brooks, who both played really well as of late, especially Giello. And so there's a lot of positivity there that they can make a run. And like I've said, it's a really weak bubble this year. You're not going to have too many teams who have legitimate gripes that they didn't get in.
Seven games left on the schedule. I think they've got to go 5-2 the rest of the way to be on the bubble going into the SEC tournament, which would put them at 20-11, which would put them at 10-8 in conference play, and then still have to do some quality work in Nashville when the SEC tournament starts to get in. I think anything less than that, and it's a run-the-table proposition for the Rebels when it comes to SEC tournament time in order to get into the NCAAs. Dave, we haven't asked you, but, I mean, your opinion on the Rebels the rest of the way and what they need to do to get into the dance, or is it too late?
Yeah, you know, you and I talked off the air about this yesterday, David. In my opinion, there is a lot of work to be done. And, you know, like Michael made a good point earlier in the broadcast, if Ole Miss loses to Arkansas tomorrow, I mean, it becomes a long shot. and possibly to the point where, you know, they have to go in and just win everything outright in the SEC tournament. I remember a couple of years back, you know, Ole Miss was on that, you know, first four in or first four out when Marshall Henderson was a senior. And Ole Miss ended up winning 19 games that season and didn't even make the NIT. So, you know, that
but as Michael has pointed out here, though, it's a little bit of a different setting this year. That bubble area is kind of weak this year when you take a look at it. So
that's true.
Yeah, you know, maybe you know, I don't know.
One thing I've never been able to count Andy Kennedy out in all of his time at Ole Miss is this team getting on a run. When they can get on a run, it just wouldn't surprise me because it's been so consistent with his teams in the past. If Ole Miss can get on a run, you know, something can happen.
You know what the amazing thing about basketball is? How much different would we be looking at this team right now? You know, you start off in November, and it's the heat of football season, and you're not paying that much attention to basketball. But what if they had defeated George Mason, a team they were certainly capable of doing so? What if they picked up that win against Seton Hall, and instead of a 15-19 right now, we're talking about a 17-17. Conference record aside, things would look so much more better. Those early season games, while they don't feel like they mean much, they mean a whole heck of a lot. And I know you remember what they do down the stretch and all that stuff, but I'm just saying 17-7 right now would look a lot different than 15-9 when you were talking about postseason prognostications and things of that nature. But and I keep saying tomorrow night, actually Ole Miss Arkansas play at 1 p.m. tomorrow at the Pavilion, so I don't want to be the fault of anybody showing up in Oxford late to go watch the Rebels play, and the game would already be in the book. So 1 p.m. Central Time tip-off from the Pavilion, Ole Miss and Arkansas on Saturday. All right, guys, we got to roll this out. Either of you catch any of the Democratic debate last night, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton firing shots at one another?
Yeah, I caught some of that. It was I had to turn my TV down a little bit. They were both just shouting, and it looked like Hillary Clinton was wearing something from the Kim Jong-un collection.
You know what? I told my wife, I was like, man, I want to go eat Chinese. It just kind of made me feel exactly right. I think you described that perfectly, a gold top. And, man, she just looks mad all the time, you know? She just looks mad. And Bernie's just an angry old man, I believe. And he's got the longest index finger in the world. I noticed that last night. He likes to wag it. But it was interesting sparring for a little bit, a Republican debate coming up Saturday night. And we know Dave is a right-winger, so he probably didn't watch the Democratic debate last night. We'll forgive him for that. But and I'm not – most of you listeners know me well. Y'all can probably figure out my political affiliations. I don't have a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker. Let's leave it at that. But anyway, it's good,
right.
good blood sport right now to watch on TV if you're into politics. And then they say South Carolina is going to be nasty, and that's the next primary coming up. All right, Michael, any closing thoughts today?
I got to say it's, I've been pretty zeroed in on baseball coming up. It's blowing my mind that we have the preseason press conference in just a couple days, and then we're also going to have the season starting a week from today, which here's to hoping it's a little warmer than that. I don't want to rub it into any other to any Ole Miss baseball fans out there, but regardless of the weather, I'll be inside on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the Florida International Series. I'm not going to brave the cold. I'm not a purist. I'm a purist of the game, but when it comes to weather, no. I want no, absolutely no part of that. But it's exciting
right,
to think
Dave,
that baseball is right around the corner.
It is. Closing thoughts, Dave.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. I'm trying to stay warm as well over here. One thing I want to share about the baby this morning, so my wife is holding him, just taking pictures and everything, and you know, just taking full straight reels, just nonstop of you know, every second he move he makes. And so she comes across this one photo, and she said, "Look at this wave," and she shows me the picture. And I kid you not, guys, I'm gonna have to send this to you. All on his own, he's throwing a fins up. He's throwing the fins up sign, and I've got a big old debate right now because I've told y'all both my wife's an Alabama fan. She's got some of her Alabama fans on Facebook debating with me, and then some Ole Miss fans are getting debate in. But yeah, guys, he's naturally a rebel, and you know, doesn't know how to talk yet.
Well, all right. Well, I've had my sidekick with me throughout this podcast, and if she made her presence known, I apologize for that because she's in a pretty bad mood right now. I'm babysitting Tori Kate this morning, who's about to turn 21 months old. So she helps me out a lot sometimes, but it's always a lot of fun. All right, guys, that'll do it for us today on this Friday podcast. Hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives in this very small way. And as always, hotty toddy.